freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Welcome back, everyone, to Patriot Coalition Live. I'm Matthew Nugent.
And I'm Jason Marocek.
Thanks for joining us today, everybody. Our goal is to create a timeless resource to teach about the U.S. Constitution and the proper role of government, the importance of America's Judeo-Christian heritage, and how to defend against threats to our republic. Folks, we want to engage members of our armed forces, veterans, first responders, and the patriots who support them in their noble professions. We also want to engage teenagers who want to be patriots and serve our country. Young soldiers, sailors, Marine, airmen, Coast Guard folks, Coasties, and here's a new one, Space Troopers.
Yeah, there you go. That's our label for the new Space Force. So until somebody comes up with something different, that's what we're going with. So let us know if you like it or not.
Yeah, we searched the internet and that was the most popular. If you're a Space Trooper out there and you or you hate it or love it, let us know. Okay. Your support's important to us. Please support us at patriotcoalitionlive.com/support. Weekly episodes are available Tuesday mornings where you get your podcasts, places like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us at patriotcoalitionlive.com. If you'd like to see this podcast episode on video, you can find us at patriotcoalitionlive.com or at the alternative that to YouTube that is not censored, and that's rumble.com, rumble.com. Okay, y'all ready?
I know I am.
All right, let's do this. Okay, today the title is, of course, A Birth of a Great Nation and Embracing Liberty, the Declaration of Independence. This is part one of three. Now, I'm really excited about Jason and me bringing this to you today because usually discussing founding documents is very dry. It's boring and you fall asleep. Okay, maybe that's just me, okay? Jason's got this, you know, incredible gene that he just can go and read this stuff. It's incredible, okay? So we've got Jason and me, and this is going to be awesome, okay? We're going to give it in context of, we're going to break it down, put it in today's language. We're going to give it to you in bite-sized pieces, okay? So if you have the Constitution with you in your pocket, pull it up online, the Declaration of Independence, follow along with us, okay? Our goal, so that when we're done here, this is one of three parts, but after three episodes, you will literally be able to be competent, conversant, and comfortable with sharing this with whomever you're around, whether you're in high school, college, you know, if you're in the military, you can speak to your fellow troopers, space troopers, if you will, and you'll amaze everyone. Because typically, you know, when you hear about the founding documents, it's like, I love liberty. I love freedom. The Constitution's awesome. The Declaration of Independence is awesome. Well, tell me about it. All men are created equal. That is true. That is true. And there's more exciting stuff to that, especially when you add context and put a story behind it. And I think you guys will really enjoy this, okay? Let's first talk about where we are on our journey at Patriot Coalition Live.
Yes. So great intro, Matt. I think, you know, if you followed along with us, we've kind of taken you on this journey that started from, you know, what makes America great, you know, generally. And that when, as we started to talk about more specifics, we kind of talked to you and told this audience about how freedom came about in America, right? It's freedom's always been there, but it's only recently that we've actually embraced it and defended it, which is part and parcel to why we've entitled this episode Embracing Liberty, because we've just, you know, in the last couple hundred years, that's 300 right. years, have only come around to embracing liberty. So the liberty's always been with us, as we've mentioned, and it was, you know, been granted by God. And as we've discussed, you know, it was John Locke who helped the founders, I should say, see things from that different perspective, kind of put it into a format that they could understand and they can articulate to each other. And so The Declaration of Independence, we talked about John Locke, and then we talked about what these concepts meant to us about the laws of nature, right? Mm-hmm. And all of these concepts being floating around in that time frame, in the the 18th century, middle 18th century. And then as we started to get into fisticuffs with the Great Britain, right? As we started
fisticuffs.
That's right. All of their shenanigans that they were pulling on us. And we started getting more and more upset with the way that they were mm-hmm. oppressing us. That's when these ideas, oh, wait a minute. Remember that John Locke guy? He was saying something about the laws of nature. And,
that's right.
You know, I have individual liberty. We started thinking about, okay, if we're going to do this, and as we read, I think it was last week, about Patrick Henry's great speech, mm-hmm. and give me liberty or give me death, we thought now is a time that we need to start talking about, okay, here's the actual words that we put on paper. And many of you probably have already read this, I'm sure, at least the preamble. But I'm still not convinced a lot of people have read the Declaration of Independence all the way through and really understood and sought to understand what it meant for us. And so today,
and by the way, yeah. to your point, I read the entire entire Declaration of Independence this week for the first time. So if you, like Jason said, I'm confident that most people haven't read it. You know, I'm one of those. So, you know, if you haven't read it already, follow along with us. It'll take you, if you read it on your own, about 45 minutes, okay? And this is going to be around that, but in three parts.
Yeah, yeah. And so, so again, just to catch you up to speed, last mm-hmm. I think last week in the last episode, we talked mm-hmm. really about how the king of Britain, Great Britain, actually pushed us out of his protection, which That's meant right. that we were no longer swore allegiance to him, or we no longer had an allegiance to him. And so we were already independent as soon as he pushed us out. And so now that we were pushed into independence, we had to put on paper and make official and tell the world what it was that we were, that one, that why we were independent, and two, the principles of liberty on which we were basing our nation on. So that kind of brings us up to speed. I think a lot of it, there's this kind of, this tone and word mm-hmm. choice that they used.
To your point, Jason, if we were there was no perfect analogy for anything, guys. Okay. But if you were to make an analogy and compare it to, so what is going on with the Declaration of Independence? How would you put it in today's terms that we could all understand? Imagine this. You've got a couple parents who are oppressive and abusive, and you've got pretty much a well-behaved teenager, 17-ish or so. And this child, young adult, says, enough, enough. Your oppression and abuse is too much for me. I love you. You're my parent. I'm supposed to respect you, but this is enough. And we're going to kind of walk through this with that that metaphor or that comparison, if you will. And I think it'll help us understand it. And also the word choice that our founding fathers used, understand this, they were the most brilliant men of our time, of their time. Okay. Imagine the most intelligent, the most successful people and free thinkers. They were radical at the time, but they had vision ahead. They didn't necessarily want to be at war with England.
Yeah.
They were their relatives. I mean, a lot of people still love the monarchy, but they also love they love freedom more.
Right.
So the word choice that they use and the tone is, you're my parent. I want a relationship, but this has to stop. And yeah. funny thing is, this was written in July 4th. Actually, it was written July 2nd, but it was signed on July 4th, 1776. We had already been at war with England since 1775. We actually ended that war 6 years later in 1781, but England was still at war with Spain and France, and we couldn't sign what's called the Treaty of Paris, which officially ended the War of Our Independence with England. And in that treaty, the Treaty of Paris between us and England, the fruit of these well-phrased words and wisely spoken words allowed the war to end and for the continuance of a relationship to a certain degree with the country that we officially broke ties from.
Right.
So, so keep that in mind as we walk through the first part of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah. So that's a great analogy. I love the analogy of, you know, the kid who, or, you know, the teenager who loves his parents, but has had enough, right? That's a great way to kind of frame that tone and word choice. So this document, you know, what the Declaration of Independence is, it's essentially us formalizing ourselves as an independent nation to the world and giving an explanation of why we are separating and why we are defending our newfound independence. And a lot of times, even if you have read the Declaration of Independence, sometimes you skip over kind of all the header information, but worth noting that at the top, it does talk about, these are the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, right? So this wasn't just, you know, some of America saying, yeah, we've had enough. This was the delegates from all 13 colonies saying, no, we're in this together. So it's worth noting.
That's heavy.
So let's get into it. You know, I think what we'll do, at least we're only going to go through the first two paragraphs today, and there's plenty in there to talk about. So the first one everyone's probably familiar with is called the preamble. And so I'm going to read the entire preamble to you that's written, and then we're going to talk about it. We're going to just discuss some of the main points. So here we go, the preamble. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Right. So this is, it's one paragraph, but it's also one sentence, right? So we're going to break it up and kind of tell you, this is them telling you what they're going to tell you, right? There's, you know, Matt and I, we're both Army veterans. We graduated from West Point. And one of the things that we were both taught there is that when you're presenting something to people, an idea, you're trying to sell somebody on something.
That's right.
First, you tell them what you're going to tell them. Next, you tell them. And then finally, you tell them what you just told them. So this preamble is just like that. They're telling them what they're going to tell them. Okay. So let's look at that first clause slash, it's not really a sentence, that first clause. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. So what the founders there were saying was that sometimes it's necessary in history for a group of people to separate themselves politically from their fellow countrymen. It's not necessarily something they want to do, but sometimes it becomes necessary. So they're just kind of setting the stage. So the next clause, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. Right. So the founders at this point, they're saying, okay, now we are taking our place among equals. We're now a new nation, but we're taking our place among all the other nations. And given the fact that God did not place any of us in subservience to their fellow man, that we are all equal, he's Thomas Jefferson, as he writes this, he's referring to John Locke's laws of nature. He's saying that we are all equal, and that we're entitled to some of these protections.
And if you all could speak into the context of, or we will, we'll go back to the analogy of, you know, a 17-year-old who has oppressive and abusive parents. They're basically saying, you're my parents, but I'm going out to the world and I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be independent and I'm going to be an equal to those other adults. And so what we're saying here is the 13 United States of America, we're going out on our own. And that's what we are asserting.
Yeah. And then that final clause, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. So we're saying, okay, but if you do decide to separate from your countrymen and take your place among peers, that out of respect for all of your former countrymen and to justify to the rest of the world, you should be giving an explanation of the reasoning and rationale for which you're taking this fairly drastic action, right? Explain yourself. It's not just I'm throwing a tantrum. There are some reasons. The founders are saying, look, we have respect for our new peers, and we're going to let them know, as well as our fellow countrymen, why we're doing this.
Yeah. And to Jason's point, we're not rebelling. It's not a revolution. It's someone asserting themselves in the presence of experiencing oppression and abuse.
Yeah.
And if we can go back to that analogy again, we're going to do this a lot. It will help. That 17-year-old says, when they make this pronouncement to the world, they will, for example, if a 17-year-old says, I'm going to be an emancipated minor, which is a legal term, legal phrase, and they will have to speak to the judge and they will have to speak to the people. And what they're saying here is, you know, we need to explain why we, you know, 13 United States of America are unanimously making this declaration. So, and it's not for a transient cause, but they're acting very maturely.
Yeah.
So, because once they make this declaration, they'll have to, you know, in the future, work with England again, as well as address the rest of the world's, the other nations of the world. And those other nations of the world, England very, very well could, and I'm sure they did, say, why are you trading with or working with a nation that revolted from us? When that would be a misstatement, and a misstatement of fact. It would be a lie, actually. So that country, France, for example, said, no, they gave a list of grievances, which are all true, and they said that we must state this, and they made a case which is supported by fact.
Yeah.
And then England could... Yeah,
I was just going to say, so this document is brilliant. It's one of the most brilliant documents I think I've probably read. But not only did they declare their independence and tell why and give the principles of liberty, but right here in the same document, they showed respect not only to their former countrymen, but to all the other nations, all in one document. They didn't have to do this, but they chose to show that respect, again, probably to take their place among their peers in the world.
If you're following along with us, I'm going to read that part again, and our goal is for you to read along with us and to keep in mind what we just shared. So if you might read this a few more times with us or listen to this a few more times with us, which we invite you to do. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation, end quote. So hopefully you guys found that beneficial. Let's go on a little bit further. Now we're going to go to paragraph 2, which we call the principles of liberty and our justification. That those aren't the words. That's just kind of how we describe
it. That's our synopsis of what this paragraph is. And I'll tell you what, Matt, this paragraph right here is what gives me fire in the belly when it comes to, you know, talking about liberty, defending liberty, sharing about liberty. I mean, this paragraph, it gives me chills when I read it, when I hear it. And this is what inspires me.
Now, if you could imagine, now we're both military guys, okay? So we're officers, gentlemen, warriors. Okay. Now, if you can imagine in the metaphoric tone, imagine you got a shotgun, you know, make that sound. We hold these truths to be self-evident, meaning we stand on these truths. That's and what right. are they? I'm going to read it and then we're each going to add commentary and then either Jason and I will read it again. So we hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles as, and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So it was a, that was a long sentence. Was that a sentence or was that a paragraph? It was
kind of just a bunch of clauses together, but some very inspirational clauses.
So if you ever read George Washington, which he writes, some people have called this flowery, okay? It's a neutral term, but George Washington wrote like this all the time. And he's one of America's first great poets, really. Jefferson, I would make that claim for Jefferson too. So if you've ever read the first inaugural address of George Washington, it is filled with this stuff. And it really, it's incredible. It's incredible. So we'll start off with, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. God did not place us in subjugation to other men, nor did he grant us dominion over one another. We were created equal. Okay, equality, liberty rather, is not a discovery like Benjamin Franklin. I discovered electricity, you know, yeah. Or I invented the smartphone, you know, the iPhone or whatever. No, that was a creation of man. You know, the iPhone was a creation of man, okay? Liberty was a creation of God.
That's right. No, that's exactly right. I mean, this stands on its own. It's like you said, it's that the cocking of the shotgun, right?
Here we come.
These are obvious truths that all men are created equal. And
obvious, you know, to us, right? Obvious to us nowadays.
Yeah, right. And we should have known it for, you know, millennia, but we found it, or we figured it out and we embraced it. And so we're running with it. And, you know, there's a lot of folks who say, well, it says all men are created equal. Well, it's not too long ago. I'm old enough to remember when we used the plural form of man, men, or the masculine form of man to be inclusive of both men and women, right? Instead yes. of saying man and woman, we would just say man. I'm old enough to remember when we did that. I know Matt is as well. This That's is right. them saying it's not just men, it's mankind. They're using that as a generic term for mankind.
Yeah. And even in Spanish, if you're speaking to or about a man and a woman, you don't go, you know, and it's plural. You don't go los las, you go los, you know, which is the plural,
right?
Which includes the feminine person.
It's so strange for us to even to have to explain this, but, you know, some people get up in arms about, oh, it's just men. But anyways.
That's right. So that they are continuing, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, that phrase, pursuit of happiness, it comes from, you know, Thomas Jefferson. Again, they were really widely read. And as we talked about, he has, he read John Locke quite a bit, as did all of them. And so that phrase, pursuit of happiness, actually comes from one of Locke's other writings called The Essay Concerning Human Understanding. And even though it includes, so the phrase of pursuit of happiness includes mm-hmm. pursuing pleasure and property, it's just as important that we recognize that it includes the freedom to make the decisions in our own self-interest. It includes mm-hmm. all of that, right? So, you know, we're saying that since God granted us life and the freedom mm-hmm. to pursue happiness, it's not for anybody to take that away from us, including ourselves, right? That is what Locke says is the law of nature, and why we say, you know, in the preamble, that the laws of nature and of nature's God, right? So the unalienable means that we cannot be separated from it.
Understand that it is a possession that is innately our own. Each man or woman or child has an unalienable right. But everybody, can rights be taken away? They can be taken away through a bully, through someone with a gun. through due process, if you, you know, you commit a crime against the state, then you go to jail. But understand
and
that.
Just to be clear, the right can't be taken away. The exercise of those rights
or the exercise
can be
of
oppressed,
those
right? Yeah.
Fine distinction of words. Thank you, Jason. There you go. So his superpower is words, definitely. Moving on to the next clause, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now hear that, to secure these rights, you have governments. And by the way, remember, the governments are put into power from us, the independent sovereigns. And if we fall asleep at the wheel and we're not educated, we can forget where those come from. So this is the purpose of government, to secure our unalienable rights, period. Nothing else. Not to solve our daily problems. I don't want the government telling me I should wear a mask. I can make that decision for myself. But to defend our ability to pursue our own version of happiness, as long as it doesn't take away from another's or infringe upon their life, liberty, and property.
So, yeah, as you say, I mean, this is a radical idea, but it says right there, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government. We're the only ones that allow them to do, them meaning the government, to do what they are. So it is the only authorized powers of government are those that we give them. So, and again, I'll just, you know, reiterate what Matt said, because this is critical. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. To secure what rights? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is, we tell people what the purpose of government is. It's to secure our unalienable rights, period. Nothing more, nothing less. So when people throw out there, well, you know, it's not to, give people stuff. It's not to defend our safety, our physical safety, although that's part of being, you know, free. That's not it. If we can't be free and we can't exercise our liberties, it doesn't really matter. The only safety that we're granted if we don't have liberty is that which the government gives us, right? We can That's only right. be as safe as they will allow us to be unless they first give us liberty. So that is the only purpose of government.
Now, like Jason said, this is a radical concept, because most nations in the history of man up to that time were led by monarchs or tyrants, and they declared that you have rights because I say so, or because I give them to you, or if you're a monarch, I am here because of God.
Yeah, or even put it in today's terms, if the government comes along and says, hey, we're going to do this because we need to keep you safe. No, oh, that's not your job. Your job is to keep my liberty defended. So anyways, moving on.
What, it's an important point. I mean, if anyone ever takes your rights to say, this is to help you, okay, unless they're your parent, okay? No, because I don't want a parent for government, okay? I'm over 18. I'm out of the coop for many years, okay? But when someone tells you this is for your own good, or I'm from the government and I'm here to help, be very cautious. We joke about it a little bit here, but it's serious.
Yeah.
Because the more they take, we acquiesce and say, oh okay. But no, it erodes away our liberties little by little. So continuing, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such forms as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So it follows that if government infringes on our liberty without our consent, you know, if Now, that analogy, like I said, there's no perfect analogy. You know, a child doesn't need to give the parent consent. But if a parent is abusive or oppressive, you know, that child has a right to say, hey, you know, I give you, mom and dad, I give you respect and obedience, and you're supposed to protect me. Well, if you're not protecting me, I mean, I can respect you, but I've got to get out. Yeah. So what they're saying here is that, you know, if a government is not providing us what we are endowed by our creator, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then someone has delegitimized themselves as the leader as the parent, as in the monarch, because monarch is a two-way street. You know, you give your allegiance, I give you, if I'm the monarch, I give you protection. And what they're saying here is going further into why the, you know, King George III in this case has failed in that regard.
Yeah. And he's at this point, you know, they're acknowledging that, look, they're making the case. These are all the things which people can do. And they're saying generally, they're saying humankind, they're not just saying Americans. Mm-hmm. They're saying these are human rights, if you will. And mm-hmm. in this case, they're saying if government infringes on these liberties without our consent, as we just said, that we give them the authority to do whatever that mm-hmm. we want them to do. If they infringe on these liberties, despite that, then we can just start over. We can create a government however we think it's going to ensure that our liberties and our pursuit of individual freedom and happiness, however it promotes that. So
there you go. So Jason's got this fire in the belly about this one. Jason, you want to reread the entire
thing? Yeah. So at this whole paragraph, but certainly this next section says, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. So we just talked about how, look, the government only exists if we create it. We give them the authority. If they abuse that authority, we can change it if we want. But having said that, if people have lived under the same government for a long period of time, presumably in relative safety and security and happiness, then we should really choose carefully whether or not we're going to attempt to change it for trivial reasons, you know, or they, as they say, light and transient causes. We ought to think twice if we've enjoyed relative safety and security. I mean, people today, I'm sure they'll recognize this if they think about this. This kind of speaks to us as well today.
That's right. And imagine going back to that analogy again, you got the 17-year-old in front of the judge saying, hey, judge, this is no small request I'm making. It is not a light and transient cause that I am making this request for.
Yeah. So moving on to the next clause, it says, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. Again, they wrote in very eloquent language, but what they're saying is history tells us that we're generally going to stick things out if we can suffer through them rather than go to the great lengths and painful lengths to change that which we've become used to, right? We're sort of creatures of habit, and we're willing to suffer through quite a bit, and they did, right? And they did.
Yeah, to this point, I think the our founding fathers here, the authors, are really displaying wisdom, because yeah. most people will put up with a lot of crap. And most people, I found out, will be pushovers. And I am sorry to say that, because they're either, I don't want to make a big deal about it, or I'm scared. What will my friends say? You know, I might get unfriended. You know, this is me poking a stick at some people. However, when a leader stands up and says, enough is enough, a leader is a majority, because a leader has a following. Okay. So you folks listening out there, you could be the one that are inspiring people, but understand that most people aren't going to do anything unless they've got a good reason. And here, our founding fathers are really just speaking great wisdom to us, that most people will put up with a lot of crap until they finally make something. In fact, this has been the U.S. in our history in some cases. Now, going back to the analogy of that 17-year-old, typically if that happens, it hasn't been going on for a week. It's been going on for years, which is exactly what happened in these 13 United States of America at the time.
Yeah. And this was also, again, back to your comment about them being so wise. This is them preempting the accusations that, oh, you just don't like, you know, paying taxes, or you don't like actually somebody telling you what to do. No, we've thought about this quite a bit. This is not something that we just impetuous, you know, all of a sudden said, oh, we're going to, you know, separate from Great Britain. So. Okay, so the next clause, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, meaning them being the people. It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. So now they're saying we've set the stage for what liberty is and how we think that governments should be instituted, where they get their powers, and what to do if they abuse them. Now we're saying that if we're abused time and time again, and the goal for that abuse is seems to be establishing absolute despotism, then not only is it the people's right, but it is their duty to remove the shackles of the current government and ensure their future liberty, right? It is their duty, right? We just said God has given them these rights, these protections, these liberties. If someone's abusing those and God has given them to me, to Matt, to you mm-hmm. out there listening, it's your duty to stand up for that because God gave those to you.
Make sense? So if you could draw this analogy to the 17-year-old again. So pretty much every teenager is going to think, Mom, Dad, you're oppressing me, or Mom, you're oppressing me, or Dad, you're oppressing me. Okay. Sometimes with what a teenager perceives as oppression is really discipline.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what they're saying here is the discipline that England has put upon us is not discipline. It's more and more oppression, more and more abuse, which seems to have the end of total tyranny, despotism. Yeah. So they're saying it's our right and it's our duty to throw off this abuse, and it's for our own future security.
Yeah. Okay. So wrapping up the second paragraph here says, such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. So here it is. This is kind of their summation, right? Before they start listing all the grievances, they're saying, mm-hmm. we've told mm-hmm. you all the things that we believe are the principles of, or that we know are the principles of liberty and how they've been violated or, and how they can be violated and what the measures are if they are. That's now right. They're saying this, all these things we just told you, this is exactly what has happened to us in these colonies. And so we have to take action now. The king has tried to establish absolute tyranny. So now we're going to react. Or rather, we will recite to you all of these trains of abuses that he has perpetrated on us. And we call those the 27 grievances.
27 grievances.
That's exactly right.
And that is going to be, we're going to sum up here in a second, but that's going to be part two. And so anyway, guys, I hope this has been helpful. Hope you followed along with us. But Jason, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I think, you know, so in this episode, again, we're doing this in three parts just because it's mm-hmm. it's a lot of words that were written differently than we read them. So we told you kind of the preamble and what they're going to tell us. And we told you what they're going to tell us. And we told you kind of what those principles of liberty that they're basing this on, right? We've introduced the concept you know, they have introduced, and we've recited to you the basics of what the concept of individual liberty is, all those principles of liberty, particularly as a foundation for a new government, right? And keep in the back of your mind, these are, you know, the founders in this document have espoused the principles of liberty that they will later build a government on. And they'll codify all of the laws that are going to protect these principles of liberty. So it's really this document, it's a proclamation, not just to the Great Britain from whom they just separated, but also to the rest of the world, you know, letting them know, look, we're independent. We're now going to establish a new form of government based on the laws of God, you know, the laws of nature and of nature's God, as they say. And individual liberty is at the forefront. It is at the core of what we're going to be basing that on, because that comes from God and it's unalienable. It's not from a monarch. It's not from a government. They didn't give us that. We have it innate, you know, innately within us, and we will defend that. So it's just, you know, this is really just the beginning, right? The beginning of a fight that, you know, as Matt said, actually goes until 1783, right? And it's the strongest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the strongest military. It's the most powerful country on the face of the planet at the time. And these truths, these eventually become the building blocks of, as I said, what we're going to found our country on, the Constitution, which was ratified in 1789. And one thing that I don't want us to lose sight of, these men and women during that time, they made some significant sacrifices. You know, we'll see it later on in the document. They mm-hmm. gave their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. These people knew that when they signed this, when they were fighting for this, it was considered treason. And they gave up a lot. A lot of them gave up their entire fortunes. They gave up their lives. And so we have to remember that today as we go about our lives and we are concerned, you know, pick your concern for of the day, right? Or you say, oh, it's not a big deal that they're asking me to do this. No, somebody fought for you way back when, and they've continued to fight for you up to today. So we can't mm-hmm. lose sight of what has been sacrificed to make sure that we can live by these principles of liberty. So that kind of recaps what we talked about today. And as Matt said, we're going to get into probably the, you know, roughly half of the 27 grievances next time. So we'll look forward to that.
Yeah. What courageous people they were, not just brilliant, but they gave everything. And
absolutely.
Jason talks about they gave their lives, their future, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And some of the founding fathers died, or they died in prison and lost many of their children. They were captured mm-hmm. and who eventually that died in captivity. We'll talk about that on another episode. So great work, Jason. And everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Please go to Patriot Coalition Live to see this if you want to on video, or you can follow us on a podcast. Your support monthly is a big help to us. PatriotCoalitionLive.com/support. If you do have any questions or topics that you would like us to cover, please go to the website and there's a place you can leave a message there. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you here next time.
Take care, everyone.